The Moon Voyage by Jules Verne. From the Earth to the Moon. Chapter 1. The Gun Club. During the Federal War in the United States, a new and very influential club was established in the city of Baltimore, Maryland. It is well known with what energy the military instinct was developed amongst that nation of shipowners, shopkeepers, and mechanics. Mere tradesmen jumped their counters to become extempore captains, colonels, and generals without having passed the military school at West Point. They soon rivaled their colleagues of the old continent and, like them, gained victories by dint of lavishing bullets, millions, and men. But where Americans singularly surpassed Europeans was in the science of ballistics or of throwing massive weapons by the use of an engine. Not that their arms attained a higher degree of perfection, but they were of unusual dimensions and consequently of hitherto unknown ranges. The English, French, and Prussians have nothing to learn about flank, running, enfilading, or point-blank firing, but their cannon, howitzers, and mortars are mere pocket pistols compared with the formidable engines of American artillery. This fact ought to astonish no one. The Yankees, the first mechanicians in the world, are born engineers, just as Italians are musicians and Germans metaphysicians. Thence, nothing more natural than to see them bring their audacious ingenuity to bear on the science of ballistics. Hence those gigantic cannon, much less useful than sewing machines, but quite as astonishing and much more admired. The marvels of this style by Parrott, Dahlgren, and Rodman are well known. There was nothing left the Armstrongs, Palazzos, and Troll de Bollier but to bow before their transatlantic rivals. Therefore, during the terrible struggle between Northerners and Southerners, artillerymen were in great request. The Union newspapers published their inventions with enthusiasm, and there was no little tradesman nor naïf booby who did not bother his head day and night with calculations about impossible trajectory engines. Now, when an American has an idea, he seeks another American to share it. If they are three, they elect a president and two secretaries. Given four, they elect a clerk and a company is established. Five convoke a general meeting and the club is formed. It thus happened at Baltimore. The first man who invented a new cannon took into partnership the first man who cast it and the first man that bored it. Such was the nucleus of the gun club. 1 month after its formation, it numbered 1,833 effective members and 30,575 corresponding members. One condition was imposed as a sine qua non upon everyone who wished to become a member, that of having invented, or at least perfected, a cannon, or, in default of a cannon, a firearm of some sort. But, to tell the truth, mere inventors of 15-barreled rifles, revolvers, or sword pistols did not enjoy much consideration. Artillerymen were always preferred to them in every circumstance. The estimation in which they are held, said one day a learned orator of the gun club, is in proportion to the size of their cannon and in direct ratio to the square of distance attained by their projectiles. A little more, and it would have been Newton's law of gravitation applied to moral order. Once the gun club founded, it can be easily imagined its effect upon the inventive genius of the Americans. War engines took colossal proportions, and projectiles launched beyond permitted distances cut inoffensive pedestrians to pieces. All these inventions left the timid instruments of European artillery far behind them. This may be estimated by the following figures. Formerly, in the good old times, a 36-pounder, at a distance of 300 feet, would cut up 36 horses, attacked in flank, and 68 men. The art was then in its infancy. Projectiles have since made their way. The Rodman gun that sent a projectile weighing half a ton a distance of 7 miles could easily have cut up 150 horses and 300 men. There was some talk at the gun club of making a solemn experiment with it. But if the horses consented to play their part, the men, unfortunately, were wanting. However that may be, the effect of these cannon was very deadly, and at each discharge the combatants fell like ears before a scythe. After such projectiles, what signified the famous ball which, at Cutras in 1587, disabled 25 men, and the one which, at Zorndorf in 1758, killed 40 Phantassins, and in 1742, Kesseldorf's Austrian cannon, of which every shot leveled 70 enemies with the ground. What was the astonishing firing at Jena or Austerlitz which decided the fate of the battle. During the Federal War, much more wonderful things had been seen. At the Battle of Gettysburg, a conical projectile thrown by a rifle barrel cut up 173 Confederates, and at the passage of the Potomac, a Rodman ball sent 215 Southerners into an evidently better world. A formidable mortar.